This article is brought to you by the best-selling book Say It Right Every Time, The Black Book of Eamon Blackthorne. Because the right words, at the right moment, change everything. How to give feedback to your manager without damaging the relationship. A practical script for upward feedback that builds trust, not tension. In short, after reading this, you will know how to give upward feedback to your manager in a way that protects the relationship and drives real improvement. Prepare your feedback using the SBVI method. Situation, behavior, impact. Lead with the relationship, not the complaint. Choose the right moment, use a clear script, and follow up after the conversation. Definition: give upward feedback refers to the practice of sharing specific, constructive observations with a person in authority over you, typically a direct manager, using a structured approach that focuses on observable behavior and its real impact rather than personal judgment or emotion. There is a moment most people know well. Your manager talks over you in a meeting, again. Or they check their phone throughout your one-on-one, again. You say nothing, again. You walk away frustrated, the problem stays unsolved, and a small resentment takes root. Over time, it quietly poisons the working relationship you both depend on. The reason people stay silent is really cowardice. It is confusion. They do not know how to give upward feedback in a way that is honest without being risky, or direct without being career limiting. The power dynamic changes everything. You cannot use the same approach you might use with a peer. The stakes feel higher, the margin for error narrower, and most people simply have no framework to rely on. Here is the truth of it. There is a clear, practical process for upward feedback that protects the relationship and gets results. I teach it in full in Chapter 5, Say It Right Every Time. And in this guide, you will get the whole method, step by step, ready to use. In this guide, you will get a clear, practical process for giving upward feedback that you can apply immediately. Why giving feedback upward is harder than it sounds. Knowing you should speak up is easy. Actually doing it well is something else entirely. Most people understand, in theory, that honest communication builds better working relationships. But understanding something and executing it under pressure are two very different things. The gap between the two is where most upward feedback attempts collapse. Here is what makes this particular skill so difficult. The power imbalance is real. Your manager controls your performance reviews, your projects, and in many cases, your future at that organization. That reality changes how you weigh every word, even when your feedback is entirely reasonable. There is no clear structure to rely on. Most people have never been taught how to give feedback upward. They improvise, and improvised feedback tends to come out either too soft to land or too blunt to survive. Fear of misinterpretation runs deep. You might intend to be helpful. Your manager might hear criticism. That gap in interpretation is enough to stop most people before they even start. Timing is almost never right by accident. Walking into a conversation without a plan, or catching your manager at the wrong moment, can make even thoughtful feedback land badly. Emotions complicate delivery. If you are frustrated, it shows. And feedback delivered from frustration rarely produces the change you are looking for. The goal is not to eliminate these difficulties. It is to build a system that works in spite of them. The foundation. What you need before you start. Before you begin, there are three things that need to be clear. Number one, check your intention first. Ask yourself honestly, am I giving this feedback to help or to release my own frustration? As I write and say it right every time, giving feedback is a responsibility, not a right. If your primary goal is not to be useful, the conversation will go sideways before you finish your first sentence. Spend 5 minutes before any feedback conversation asking, what do I actually want to change and why does it matter? Number two, focus on behavior, not the person. The moment you shift from here is what happened to here is what you're like. You lose the conversation. Stick to observable facts, what you saw, what was said, what the measurable effect was. This is the foundation of every feedback approach that actually works, and it is non-negotiable for upward feedback. Number three, confirm you have the right setting. Upward feedback in public is rarely upward feedback at all. It is pressure. Choose a private, scheduled moment, ideally a one-on-one you both expected. Never ambush. Never give this kind of feedback in a group. The relationship you are trying to protect requires privacy to be honest. Get these right first. The steps that follow will not work without them. Step 1. Choose the right moment. Timing is the part of feedback delivery that most people underestimate, and it costs them. You might have the most thoughtful, well-constructed feedback in the world. If you deliver it when your manager is under stress, distracted, or emotionally activated, none of that preparation matters. The moment shapes the message as much as the words do. Here is how to choose well. Number 1. Use an existing one-on-one meeting rather than creating a separate, formal feeling conversation. Number 2. Wait at least 24 hours after the incident that prompted the feedback, so your own emotions have settled. Number 3. Give your manager a brief heads up that you have something you want to discuss, without front-loading the wait. I have a thought I'd like to share with you in our next one-on-one. Number 4. Avoid Mondays, end-of-day Fridays, or any period where a major deadline is bearing down. Number 5. If the moment feels wrong when you arrive, trust the instinct and reschedule rather than push through. Example: a team member named Sarah noticed her manager consistently checked his phone during their weekly one-on-ones. She waited until she felt calm and had a clear session scheduled, then asked at the start, "I have something I'd like to raise with you today. Would that be all right?" That simple question gave her manager a moment to shift his attention and signaled that what followed was worth listening to. Choosing the right moment is not about being careful to the point of paralysis. It is about giving your feedback the best possible conditions to land. Step 2. Anchor the relationship first. Before you raise the issue, name what the conversation is built on. This single step changes the entire emotional dynamic of what follows. When you lead with the relationship, your manager hears the feedback inside a context of respect, not attack. Without this anchor, even well-structured feedback can feel like an ambush. Here is how to do it. Number 1. Open with a direct, genuine statement about the working relationship. "I really value working with you," or "I want to be straightforward with you because I respect how we work together." Number 2. State your intention clearly before you state the issue. "I have a suggestion I think could make our collaboration even better." Number 3. Keep this opening brief. 2 or 3 sentences. You are not asking for permission. You are setting tone. Number 4. Do not over-apologize or bury the lead with so many qualifiers that your manager cannot find the actual feedback. This step does not mean softening your feedback until it disappears. It means that what follows will be received inside a context of trust rather than defensiveness. A manager who feels respected is far more likely to actually hear what you say next. A quick note before we continue. Most people leave the hardest conversations for last and regret the words they used when they finally had them. The best-selling book Say It Right Every Time gives you 115 tested scripts for those exact moments, the ones that shape careers, relationships, and how people remember you. Get your copy at emonblackthorne.com. Now, back to the article. Step 3. Use the SBI method to structure your feedback. This is the engine of the whole process, and it is the framework I cover in depth in Chapter 5 of Say It Right Every Time. The SBI method stands for situation, behavior, and impact. It gives you a structure that is factual, specific, and almost impossible to dismiss as personal or emotional. Each element carries precise weight. Here is how to apply each part. Number 1. Situation. Name the specific context. Not sometimes or often. When and where did this happen? In our one-on-ones over the past few weeks. Number 2. Behavior. Describe only what you could observe. No interpretation, no guessing at the motive. What did you see or hear? I have noticed that you are also checking your email. Number 3. Impact. State the real effect on you, the team, or the work. Own it with thy language. The impact on me is that I sometimes feel I do not have your full attention. Number 4. Finish with a specific, reasonable request. What would you like to be different? Would you be open to making our one-on-ones a no-device zone? I am happy to do the same. Number 5. Invite a response. Give your manager room to react, ask questions, or offer their own perspective. Example script. Here is the upward feedback script from Chapter 5 of Say It Right Every Time, used exactly as written. "I really value our working relationship, and I have a suggestion for how we could make it even better. I have noticed that sometimes in our one-on-ones, you're also checking your email. The impact on me is that I sometimes feel like I do not have your full attention, and I want to make the most of our time together. Would you be open to making our one-on-ones a no-device zone? I am happy to do the same." Notice what that script does not include: blame, generalization, or judgment about character. Every word is observable, specific, and forward-looking. Step 4. Manage your own reaction during the conversation. Your manager may respond in ways you did not expect, prepare for that now. Not in the moment. What I describe and say right every time as the amygdala hijack is the brain's automatic threat response. When someone feels criticized, even indirectly, the brain can shift into a defensive state before they have consciously chosen to react. This can happen to your manager, and it can happen to you if the response surprises you. Knowing this in advance changes how you show up. Here is how to manage the live conversation. Number 1. If your manager becomes defensive, do not match their energy. Stay calm, stay grounded, and wait. Number 2. Listen to their response without interrupting, even if you disagree with what they say. Number 3. Use the phrase "I hear what you're saying" to acknowledge their reaction before you restate your own position. Number 4. If they ask for a specific example, and you did not prepare one, be honest. Let me think about that, and come back to you with something specific. Number 5. If the conversation becomes heated, it is acceptable to say, "I think we both need a moment. Can we pick this up tomorrow?" Staying steady under a difficult response is itself a feedback skill. The conversation does not end when you finish your SBI statement. How you handle what comes next is often what determines whether the relationship strengthens or contracts. Step 5. Follow up after the conversation. The feedback conversation is not the end point. What happens after is where real change lies. Most people deliver upward feedback, exhale, and then wait passively to see what happens. This is the step that separates people who get results from those who simply check a box. Following up closes the loop and signals that your feedback was genuine, not a complaint dressed up in polite language. Here's how to follow up effectively. Number 1. Within 48 hours, send a brief message thanking your manager for hearing you out. Thank you for taking the time to talk through that with me. I appreciate it. Number 2. Watch for the behavior change you requested and acknowledge it directly when you see it. I noticed you put your phone away in our last session. That made a real difference. Number 3. If the behavior has not changed after a few weeks, raise it again, gently and specifically. Number 4. Keep a private record of what was agreed, so you can reference it clearly if needed. Number 5. If positive change has happened, say so. Growth acknowledged becomes growth sustained. Example. One of the most effective follow-up phrases I know is this. Remember how I mentioned I wanted to feel more present in our one-on-ones? I just want you to know the last two sessions felt completely different, and I'm grateful. That kind of follow-up does two things. It affirms the change, and it keeps the feedback loop open for future conversations. After you follow up, you've done something most people never manage. You've used feedback to build trust rather than spend it. Adapting this process for remote and hybrid teams. Giving upward feedback when you and your manager are really in the same room requires a few deliberate adjustments. The core process stays the same. Prepare, anchor the relationship, use the SBI structure, manage your reaction, and follow up. But the medium changes things, and the medium matters. When you're raising something sensitive, use video, not text. Written feedback to a manager, especially over email or messaging apps, strips tone and leaves too much room for misreading. Request a live video call. If you must write something in advance, treat it as preparation notes, not the feedback itself. Reduce the chance of distraction. In remote settings, both of you may have competing demands pulling at your attention. Ask your manager explicitly to close other tabs and protect the session. Model this yourself. If you can reference the no device zone concept from Chapter 5 of Say It Right Every Time, this is exactly where it applies. Be more precise about timing cues. You cannot read a room remotely. Ask, "Is now still a good time?" at the start of the call. Watch for body language signs of distraction, a wondering gaze, a muted microphone left on mute too long. These signal when to pause and re-engage. Follow up in writing after a video session. A brief summary email after the call, not lengthy, just 2 or 3 sentences, confirms what was said and what was agreed. In remote settings, this written record matters more than it does in person. The power dynamic in upward feedback does not disappear because of distance. If anything, remote settings require even more deliberate preparation. The core process holds. Only the execution changes. Common mistakes to avoid when giving feedback to a manager. Let me tell you about the mistakes I see most often. I have made most of them myself. The mistake: giving feedback that is too vague to act on, such as "I feel like you're not really listening to me." Why it happens: vague feedback feels safer. It is harder to be wrong if you are not specific. What to do instead? Use the SBI method. Name the situation, the behavior, and the impact with precision. As I write and say it right every time, vague feedback is useless feedback. The mistake: choosing the worst possible moment, such as right after a difficult meeting or late on a Friday. Why it happens: frustration builds and people want relief from it. The urge to speak up overrides the need to prepare. What to do instead? Wait 24 hours. Let the emotional charge settle, then schedule a proper moment. The mistake: skipping the relationship anchor and going straight to the issue. Why it happens: it feels more direct. But without context, directness reads as aggression. What to do instead? Spend 2 sentences affirming the relationship before raising anything specific. The mistake: delivering feedback that is really about character, not behavior. You never respect my time. Instead of, in our last 3 one-on-ones, the meeting ran past our scheduled time. Why it happens: character level frustration is often what we actually feel, but it is not useful as feedback. What to do instead? Stay observable. Describe what happened, not who your manager is. The mistake: forgetting to follow up and assuming the conversation was enough. Why it happens: the conversation itself took courage. It is tempting to consider the job done. What to do instead? Acknowledge change when you see it. If you do not see it, revisit the conversation gently and specifically. These are not character flaws. They are gaps in the system. Fix the system. Your practical checklist for giving upward feedback. Use this checklist before you begin and after each cycle. I have identified the specific situation, behavior, and impact I want to raise. I have waited at least 24 hours since the incident that prompted this feedback. I have confirmed my intention. My goal is to help, not to vent. I have scheduled a private, one-on-one setting for this conversation. I have prepared an opening sentence that anchors the relationship first. I have a clear SBVI script ready and practiced it at least once out loud. I have a specific, reasonable request ready for what I would like to change. I have prepared for the possibility that my manager reacts defensively. I have a follow-up plan for after the conversation, including how I will acknowledge any change. I have not shared this feedback with colleagues before raising it with my manager directly. If you cannot check most of these, that is your starting point. Summary and next steps. You now have a complete process for giving upward feedback in a way that is honest, specific, and relationship-preserving. You do not have to choose between saying something difficult and protecting a relationship you value. Here is what this guide has covered. Giving upward feedback requires more preparation than peer feedback because the power dynamic is real and the stakes are higher. Check your intention before you say a word. Your goal is to be useful, not to release frustration. Anchor the relationship first. Your manager needs to hear that this conversation comes from respect. The SBVI method, situation, behavior, impact, gives your feedback a structure that is factual and almost impossible to dismiss. Manage your own reaction during the conversation. Calm is a skill, not a personality trait. Follow up after the conversation. Acknowledge change becomes sustained change. If you want to strengthen your broader feedback skills across the team, read how to give feedback that strengthens team synergy instead of breaking it. For a deeper look at the SBVI method in peer and team settings, how to use the SBVI method to give team members feedback that unifies instead of divides is the place to go. And if you want to understand the emotional conditions that make upward feedback possible in the first place, what is psychological safety and how it drives team synergy, and the role of emotional intelligence in team synergy will give you the full picture. The courage to give upward feedback well is, in the end, the courage to trust that an honest conversation is more valuable than a comfortable silence. Learning to give upward feedback with skill is one of the most powerful things you can do for your career and for the people you work alongside every day. Frequently asked questions. What does it mean to give upward feedback? To give upward feedback means sharing observations, concerns, or suggestions with someone who holds authority over you, typically your direct manager. It requires more care than peer feedback because of the power dynamic involved. But done well, it strengthens the working relationship and builds mutual trust. How do you give upward feedback without losing your job? Focus on observable behavior, not personality. Use the SBVI method to describe the situation, the specific behavior you observed, and the impact it had on you with the team. Avoid blame and lead with the relationship. Timing, tone, and preparation matter as much as the words you choose. When is the right time to give feedback to your manager? The best time is during a scheduled one-on-one, not in the middle of a busy day or right after a tense moment. Choose a private setting, give yourself time to prepare, and wait until emotions have settled. Never give upward feedback when either of you is under acute stress. What is the SBI method for upward feedback? The SBI method is a three-part feedback structure covering situation, behavior, and impact. You describe when and where something happened, what specific behavior you observed, and what effect that behavior had. It keeps feedback factual and removes personal judgment, which is critical when giving upward feedback. How do you start a conversation to give upward feedback? Start by affirming the relationship and your intent. Say something like, "I really value our working relationship, and I have a suggestion for how we could make it even better." This signals good faith before you raise the issue and reduces the chance of a defensive reaction from your manager. Is giving feedback to your manager a sign of disrespect? No. In high-trust workplaces, upward feedback is a sign of respect and commitment. It means you care enough about the relationship and the team to say something difficult. In Say It Right Every Time, I describe upward feedback as one of the clearest indicators of a genuinely strong working relationship. Thank you for listening. If this article helped, the best-selling book Say It Right Every Time will take you the rest of the way. 115 scripts ready to use whenever you need them. Visit emonblackthorne.com to get your copy.